Well, okay. Can I have a couple of volunteers to help with the communion? Thank God for the Holy Communion. Jesus told us to take this as often as we will. And Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. We're going to do it on purpose. And we're going to release our faith in it so we can keep receiving His healing and walk, you know, walk in supernatural health. That's our goal. I mean, it's important to be healed, but it's even cooler to walk in supernatural health where sickness just bounces off you. Or they come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Or these sicknesses might, 1,000 might fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. That's the kind of protection we want. Amen? This bread has been beaten flat. And this is how we discern the body of Christ. We do it on purpose. We point out each thing that this bread has done. This is the body of Christ. It's been beaten for us and bruised for us. He was certainly beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. This bread has been pierced. His body was pierced. And everywhere He shed His blood caused redemption to be possible for us. This bread also is slightly burned. Remember this always, always, always. That the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Him. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's no judgment left for you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're taking this for our healing and health because we want the life of Christ in us. Jesus' blood was shed all over the place. He is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the last sacrifice. Our job is to believe in what He had done for us on that cross. Not only has His blood cleansed us from all sin, it has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His blood protects and delivers us. His blood heals us. His blood seals in the New Testament promises. And His blood has cleansed the Holy of Holies. Now we can go into the presence of God as if we'd never sinned because of the shed blood of Jesus. We praise You for this in Jesus' name. Well, praise God. Well, are we having children's church today? Okay. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 19. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth as the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide Your word of truth. We thank You, Father, that as we look into Your word, we're going to get revelation out of it because You have given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, we thank You for Your continual guidance in learning Your word. And we thank You for Your patience in teaching us how to live in faith. We praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue on with our adventure with the Holy Spirit, how He operates with us. You know, when we cooperate with Him, it's a big adventure, and it's really fun. Our only duty is to be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit, you know, to be available. Availability. Think about that. You know, when I went to Bible school, there was a bunch of us in there, and we were kind of, you know, we were doing everything we could think of to get used in the ministry, and it seemed like, you know, we get used here a little and used there a little, and preach here once and preach there once, and we were fasting and praying, and we were doing everything we could think of, trying to twist God's arm into giving us a job. And finally, one day, I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how it's ever going to come about. I went home and I said, you know what, God? If you want to use me, I'm right here. I'm available. I'll be working. When you get ready, just holler. And I went to work. And then one day he hollered and took off. And then got up there to Wyoming and he said, I said, when you get ready to use me, just use me. I'll be ready. So he got ready to use me and he hollered and I went. And then another time, well, then that thing stopped after about 9 months. And I said, you know what, I'll be working. I'll be right here working. You know where I am. Just holler. And he hollered and ended up down here. Now, here's the thing about availability. This is the thing. This is the key thing. Everybody wants to be used by God. Most of them want to be used by God at their own convenience. See, we put these little strings on this deal. When I'm talking about availability, are you willing to skip out on a Rangers game? Or a Saints game? Are you willing to miss out on a barbecue? A rodeo? Are you willing to pick up and drop your deal and go somewhere else out of your way to do what God has called you to do? See, this is where a lot of people miss it. They say, I've got this mortgage. I've got a car payment. My wife and kids. I've got this. I've got the job. I got this. I got that. I thought you said you was available. Being available to be used by the Holy Spirit is a key to being used by the Holy Spirit. Be willing and be available. And believe me, it's not that big of a deal. It may seem like that, but God causes all things to work together for our good. Amen? And believe me, whatever it is you think that you're going to miss out on will not compare to watching the Holy Spirit manifest Himself and do something big in somebody else's life. That is cool. Now look over here to verse 11. One thing that the Holy Spirit will do, He'll change you. His presence will linger upon you. Have you ever ran into somebody and thought, that guy is special. There's something about him. You know, there's been this thing of I've been able to spot pastors. You know, and they may be in disguise and I'll come up to them and say, where are you pastor at? And how'd you know? You got a sign on you. It's called an anointing. You know, you can see the anointing in people. You see the anointing on people. One really cool thing I've noticed is I've seen people I've witnessed to out in the world, and they have a kind of a dead, dull look to them. And I witnessed to them, and they'd get born again. And the next day I'd see them, and it was like they had a glow about them. See, that's an anointing. There's an anointing. You know, I've seen, this is a really, really fun one to me. Moms have a special anointing to be moms. And they glow. I've seen them glow. And before they've even had a chance to tell anybody that they're pregnant, I come up and say, when are you going to have this baby? They say, my husband talked to you? He says, no. They have a glow. There's an anointing. There's a special anointing for moms. Did you know that? It's cool. But look here. What this anointing done here. Verse 11 said, a God wrought special miracles, literally unusual miracles, by the hands of Paul. See, there's a group of people that just go nuts. If they, you know, somebody will pray for somebody and they'll get healed and they say, that wasn't you. I said, no, I know it wasn't me. I know it was God, because I know Mark chapter 11 verse 22 says, if I ask anything in his name, that's what he'll do. But I also didn't see you standing over there praying for that man either. Get busy. See, it does take people. You are the body of Christ. See, you are his hands. I like the way Oral Roberts described it. He said, it was almost like when he prayed for somebody, when he'd stick his hands out, it was like he'd see Jesus' hands going before him. See, we don't have to have those signs. God was bringing a group of people out of a age. You know, these guys were really on the cutting edge of some new revelation for us. You know, Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and those guys were really out there, you know, for that day and age. And they were doing miracles, and there were some mighty signs and wonders happening through their hands. Through their hands. We know that Jesus is a healer. Yeah, he needs somebody to get out there and pray. Amen? See, he anointed you for a certain task. Amen? That's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? That anointing is transferable. Verse 12 said, verse 11 said, God wrought these special miracles by the hands of God, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There, I know you've seen prayer cloths, and you've seen people on TV selling prayer cloths. Don't do that. You've got the same anointing to pray over these cloths. Amen? And it doesn't have to be a special embroidered cloth. It could be a napkin. Amen? But pray and release your faith in this thing and send it on its way. I did it on an oil field rag one time. This guy, I was going into the field one day, and this guy I worked with was coming out, and he was tore up. I stopped just to say hi, and I could tell he was tore up, and I said, what's wrong? He said, they took my father-in-law to the hospital, and they said, if I want to see him alive one more time, I better get over there. He said, he's bleeding out of his lungs. And I said, well, okay, let's pray. He said, okay, so I grabbed the oil field rag, prayed over that thing, and I said, now you take this rag and put it in his pillowcase and don't say a word. So he said, okay. So a few days later, I see him in the oil field. And we meet. I said, well, how's it going? He said, he's home. He got up. He went home. Praise God. That was Jesus working through the church. See how that goes? He anointed you for a special purpose to share that anointing. Amen? Be bold in the things of God. We don't need any more undercover Christians. We need Christians that will go out there, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, pray for people, get people born again. Amen? That's the power of the Holy Spirit upon people's lives. That's the anointing of God. You don't need, you know, there's a lot of preachers running around saying, you give into this ministry, you'll share in my anointing. I don't want your anointing, Slick. I want the anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus back to life. That's the only anointing you need to be concerned with. Amen. And then a lot of people are chasing a double portion of Elijah's anointing. That's Old Testament stuff. You don't want that. You want the Holy Spirit's anointing. Amen. You want His anointing on your life. Don't fall into any gutter traps. Just go with the Word. Amen. Take that Word. And know this. Now once you get the endowment of power, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And when you step out that door, you should expect friction. But it's not God testing you. And it's not God punishing you. It's not God trying to teach you a lesson. It is the devil. John 10:10 says, the thief comes steal, kill, and destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the devil. Amen? Don't blame God. He's on your side. All right? We go forward with Him. Now here's the thing. In verse 13, it kind of changes gears. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now look. That evil spirit said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? See, those guys didn't have any business trying to do that. Number one, because they were not born again. Number two, they didn't have the endowment of power upon them. So they didn't have the authority to use the name of Jesus. You, however, are born again. And if you've received the baptism of the Spirit, you've received the endowment of power. If not, you need to do so. And you do have authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? So you don't have to worry about those evil spirits. You just tell them to get in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes people need freedom from the devil. You know, sometimes, people get in messes. Sometimes, whether we like to believe it or not, We are our own worst enemies. Amen. I know we like to blame the devil, but honestly, it's the choices we make. You know, God said, I give you this day life or death. Choose this day life. You see, He gave us free will. He gave us the freedom of choice. Sometimes we make bad choices. Believe me, I still feel some of my bad choices. But by the grace of God, I'm okay. I'm alive, I'm prospered, and I'm well, and we're rolling. Amen? Thank God. In spite of myself, I survived. We survived by the grace of God. Amen? But look, these guys didn't have any business doing that. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said there would be a day when people like this would be talking to Him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. That's key right there. I never knew you. That's covenant talk. I never knew you. If you're not born again, he doesn't know you. If you are born again, he knows you by name. He numbered the hairs on your head. And he knows where they fell out. You're going to get them back. You're going to get them back. They're not going to be gray. And he said, Then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These guys, he's saying, you know, at the end of time, there's going to be people coming up there and saying, Look, we did all these things in your name. But you're not born again. You see the significance of being born again? How important it is? Do you know we got millions of people going to church every Sunday that aren't born again? A friend of mine went, these guys, this one big church one time down in San Angelo, they wanted to have a cowboy preacher come down there and preach at their church. The denomination, a big one, denominational church down there in San Angelo. Thousands of people go there. And he said, okay, I'll go down there. So he went down there and he was getting ready for his sermon and everything. And the head pastor, the reverend, whatever they call him, went back there and said, We do not preach salvation in this church. Religion. So he preached born again. But look, there's people going every Sunday that claim to know God and they don't know God from a goat. Until you're born again and you got the life of light of Christ on the inside of you, you're not in the kingdom. You're not in the family. And you must be born again. Jesus said that. A man must be born again. Amen. This is one of the things I get. People ask me this question more than anything else. They'll hear some politician say, I'm of this. Or I'm of that. Or some politician will quote some scripture. And I said, the devil quoted scripture, twisted it, used it out of text. The devil did that. It doesn't matter what denomination they say they are. It doesn't matter. If they're not born again, they're going to make stupid decisions. It's what it is. It boils down to this. You're either in the family of God or you're in the family of Satan. I know that sounds harsh and cold, but it's the truth. And people need to know it. You're either a child of God or you're not. And you must be born again. Now, once you do that, then you get qualified for this power. It's not because of something that you've done or earned, how many hours you fasted and prayed. It's because of Jesus and His absolute white hot grace. Amen? Go down to verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You know, I know you sometime you're somebody's gonna ask you to come to their house and have them help you try to figure out what's going wrong in their life. They're gonna ask you to come pray for them. I've done this I don't know how many times. So you go into their house. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know about this situation. Is there something in this house that's maybe helping this Christian to have these roadblocks or this person have these challenges? You'd be surprised what he'll start pointing out to you. I've been in houses where I'd say, the Ouija board has to go. Look at their bookcase. These cult books gotta go. These symbols gotta go. I went to a house one time, this guy came to my house here. And he said, you got to come do something. I said, why? What's going on? He said, there is something in my house. It's opening drawers. It's opening windows. It's closing doors. It's walking around. And it's, you got to do something. I said, well, okay then. Let's go. I went to his house, and I went in there, and I renounced that thing. I said, now, there's a couple things that got to go. I said, there's some symbols here that you don't have any business messing with. I said, yeah, that's my wife's. And I said, will you part with me? No. So I talked to him a couple weeks later, and I said, how you been sleeping? He said, like a baby. Said, that thing has stopped. And it wasn't a year, the wife was gone with all of her curious symbols too. But he got peace. Amen. The ghost left. The demon left. But look, sometimes you gotta just stop and ask people some questions and find out where they are spiritually. You know, find out, you know, you'll find all kinds of things, you know, books and symbols and signs and people practicing Ouija boards and going to church at the same time. Say, look, it's not going to work that way. See, you know, you can't rub darkness and light together. There's no gray area. Say, you want freedom? Take freedom. If you don't waste my time. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. One thing that he'll do, he'll change your leadership responsibilities. Okay. Boy, is that ever true? I never thought I'd ever be pastoring a church. When I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got it because that was just something I seen in the Bible, and I thought I needed that. So that time I went down to a pastor friend of mine, and I said, I think I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I think you're right. So I got it. Now the first time I went, I was reading something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, this is why it's important. This is why it's important to have your nose in the Bible and be grounded in the Word. And none of this hocus pocus junk that a lot of people try to push around in the ministry. The first time I read about the Holy Spirit, I thought, man, I need that. And it just happened, this one lady come by and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I think I need the Holy Spirit. She said, I think you're right. She grabbed me by the hand, dragged me across the road, called her friends, and went in there and just started praying in tongues. And I thought, holy smokes, what is this? This cowboy was scared, and out that door I went, and she said, ever since I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've been chasing the devil ever since. I said, lady, I'm so tired of the devil, I don't want no more to do with him. And they started in tongues, and I thought, whoa. When I didn't spend any time teaching on nothing, didn't build no foundation. Look, folks, we got to get this right. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask Him how He would deal with this person. You know, some people can take on a little more than others. And it took me about 7 years to get back to the spot where I was going to be open to receiving the Holy Spirit. Ask God how He would have you deal with somebody. Amen. Here's the thing here, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That right there is a stern message to me. I take what I tell you guys very seriously. And I won't just preach anything. It's going to be the gospel of Paul. Paul said, if any man preaches any other gospel unto you other than what he delivered unto you, let him be accursed. I'm not interested in that curse business. I'm interested in the blessing stuff. So I'm going to... That's why... You ever wonder why I spend so much time reading the Bible to you guys? That's how serious this is. I'm not going to pass on any traditions. Any religious tradition. It's going to be the Bible. It's going to be the Bible. I don't care what anybody else says. If it's not from the Bible, I'm not going to be preaching it to you. I'm not going to do it. You're going to get that. It'll change your leadership responsibility. That's a big responsibility. I've laid in bed more nights wondering why God would even let me do this. And I thought, I'd never felt qualified. Good thing I don't go by feelings. I just say, you know, I mean, when I look back and think, man, I would have just killed me if I was you. But He saved me and He decided to use me. It's just cool to be a part of the kingdom, be used in the kingdom. That's fun. Amen? Amen. Another thing he'll do is he'll change your insight. Look down here to verse 21. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and he bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready to be bound only, not only be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now here's the thing. The Holy Spirit evidently had ordained this man to be a prophet. And he was telling Paul, said, look, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. That doesn't sound like a fun prophecy, does it? The Word of Faith circles run around. There are a lot of people running around saying, if it doesn't edify you, lift you up, don't receive that word of prophecy. Baloney! There may be a prophecy that'll save your butt from the ringer. You know? There have been prophecies, people have prophesied to people and said, don't go. And they had have their word of faith confession up there and said, no, I'm going to go. No. No. If you get a word from the Lord, you take heed. It may save you. And when the Holy Spirit is working with you and you get a word from the Lord to receive, to give to somebody, give it. Amen. I know that each one of you have had something inside of your spirit to say during a church service. That you thought something hit you and that you wanted to edify the church with it. And you didn't. I won't berate you if you raise your hand and say, I have a word from the Lord. May I share it? Yes, you may. Only just stand and share it. It'll be okay. That's probably all we better do for today. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who patiently teaches us and guides us. As we learn to be led of Him as children of God, help us to hear His voice. Help us to have the confidence in you to say what you would have us to say. Help us to minister to the people in the church and in the mission field. Father, we thank you that everywhere we go, you are with us. And that when we ask you how to minister to somebody, we thank you that we can have the confidence in you that you'll show us how. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and all kinds of snacks up here. Everybody's welcome to come back and participate in fellowship and encourage to. Amen.